Welcome back to the Man Cave Caucus. This is the place to be if you're looking for news, information, and maybe a little bit of entertainment as well. To boot, in this crazy world we live in, Joel, there is no shortage of material. I feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole most of the time. It's like drinking from a fire hydrant. It's been a crazy week. My motorcycle was stolen off the front lawn. Thanks a lot, Joe Biden. Not to mention all kinds of other things going on. It's a mess out there. Just to summarize, okay, here we are. At the end of the Biden administration, everything has skyrocketed when it comes to the cost of living. Groceries have in some cases doubled. Gas has doubled. Rent is up. Labor is up. Real estate is high. Good luck trying to find a used car at a decent price. We're on the brink of World War III with Russia, Iran, China is chomping at the bit. President Trump has been shot in the ear by an assassin, and nobody's even talking about it, it seems, except for us. And the more info we find out, the more likely it seems like an inside job with the deep state. We're on the brink of a recession with all the economic factors and inflation as it is. We're being overran by illegal immigration with people pouring over our border and even being flown in from crime-ravaged countries completely unvetted. And, oh, yeah, the left is protesting in D.C. that they should be given the right to vote as well. Joe Biden is almost completely senile at this point, and now Obama and the overlords have managed to push him to the side and install Kamala Harris, circumventing the democracy that they're always screaming about. And Kamala Harris, who seems to be the absolute worst candidate they could possibly offer up, and she's now chosen a VP running mate in Tim Walz, who is an extremist who has destroyed his own state, and now they want to bring their incompetent governing to the entire United States. So here we are. So speaking of Tim Walz, who I had never really heard of before this past week, let's see what Anonymous had to say about him, because I think he moves through this in like 2 minutes, exposing Tim Walz and his record, the things that he has done since he has been governor. Listen up.
Welcome to the race, Tim Walz. Let's make sure America knows who you are. You helped ignite the George Floyd riots, the worst the country had ever seen in decades. While Minneapolis burned, you stalled on deployment of the National Guard for an entire day, blaming the city for not submitting the right paperwork. You let your daughter leak the Guard's deployment plans online so that rioters would know how long they had to loot the city with impunity. Minneapolis is a war zone because of you. Just days after the attempted murder of Donald Trump, you called him and his supporters fascists, egging on the same rhetoric that led him to being shot in the first place. You have overseen some of the most radical youth trans surgery laws in the country. Under your leadership, teenagers can get their breasts chopped off and get sterilized, and your government calls it health care. You have the most radical abortion laws in the country. Zero limits. Every year, 5 to 6 babies are born alive and then murdered, legally, under laws you support. On immigration, you famously said you wanted to provide a ladder so invaders can come over Trump's wall. You are a radical open border zealot. Also during COVID, you approved $500 million in hero pay for frontline workers, only to have 40% of that money go to people who were ineligible or, in many cases, literally deceased. In the White House, you were Pelosi's sidekick and did whatever the Democrats demanded. You will try to disguise yourself as a folksy Midwestern moderate. In reality, you are a white male version of Kamala Harris. Radical, inept, undeserving to be in leadership.
Undeserving to be in leadership. I completely agree. So, based on what we know about Tim Walz and his record, based on what we know about Kamala Harris and her record, which, you know, there's really not that much there that she has done when it comes to her time in office. But I think we have the most extreme leftist ticket in the history of our country with the Skamala and Tampon Tim ticket. By the way, Tim is joining us by phone this episode because he is stuck in Montana because of vehicle troubles.
There's a plethora of things that she's done. I feel like that part of her record is pretty much the most damning thing that one could bring up. Really, the pre Apparently, when she fixes everything on day one.
Day one, she's going to fix inflation day one.
Yeah. I'm telling you guys, she is going to fix everything day one if they can get her in.
Right.
If the left will just get her going.
So the media, they're trying to say that. They're trying to create this manufactured fake hype about the Harris-Walz ticket, and it's just laughable.
It's disgusting.
And when I say it's a fake manufactured hype, I mean literally. I mean, listen to the breakdown of some of the footage from a Harris rally last week and what they're doing with the footage of this, and I think with AI, from everything that we can tell, for these media clips. So listen to this breakdown of one of the rallies, and this has kind of become viral on Twitter, that you've got the airplane in the background and you have this huge, looks like a huge crowd of people with their phones all out toward the airplane. And this guy begins to really break this down and look at it like closely, like, what, you know, is this actually what is happening? So listen to what he says.
So Harry Sisson put up this tweet saying, "Hope, dedication, patriotism. That's the Kamala Harris campaign." And then this picture that's supposed to be a Kamala rally, I guess, of her riding in a plane. The only issue is this picture is AI. This is not real. And you can really see it with the phones. Like, they're all recording something different.
Not a single one of the phones shows the plane that they're all pointing all their phones at.
Doing their own thing.
The hands
also
always
this person's thumb is oddly shaped. AI. So yeah, Harry, if you're going to brag about the Kamala campaign, maybe use a real picture.
So I wonder if that was just his tweet or if that's something that was shared. Like on media.
I'm thinking that if I was the Kamala, whoever does their whoever posts their media, all you have to do is go to a Trump rally, snap a picture, and then Photoshop Kamala in there, and you get the crowd that you want without even having to bring on Bon Iver or to hear Bon Iver squeak out the battle cry of freedom, right, or Megan Thee Stallion and harm all the children.
The Stallion?
So
cover your kids' ears.
She definitely is not suffering from a low self-esteem. The Stallion. And Megan A. Stallion probably wouldn't draw a crowd.
Right. A Stallion.
That's what you go to the rodeo for.
So
Megan A. Stallion.
Exactly.
We also have a video now.
I know.
Of Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi taking credit for ousting Joe Biden. And I think this is interesting, which, you know, if you can even follow Nancy talking, it's hard to do. But listen to what she says in this. I think it's funny.
She should rebrand herself. Go ahead, Joel.
I want you guys to really fix a dent on what she's saying.
Fix a dent.
For sure. She should be the spokesperson for Fix a Dent because the teeth don't move, but her lips are still trying to hold them in.
She always looks like she's three sheets to the wind. That's for sure.
I feel like she's definitely a red wine day drink.
So I know people in D.C. wine that says she starts drinking at 9 a.m. every day.
Someone craft me a t-shirt that says "Day Drinking with Nancy Pelosi." I will wear that.
There you go.
But her walkout music, had she gotten the vice presidential nominee, would have been "Red Red Wine."
That would have gone along with half of Kamala's heritage.
Listen to what she says.
I love him so much. I think he's been really a fantastic president of the United States. So
she's talking about Joe Biden.
Really wanted him to make the decision of a better campaign because they were not facing the fact of what was happening. Just a little background. I've never been that impressed with his political operation.
He's been great, but I've never been that impressed with his politics.
Bravo. Right. But
he was great.
So my concern was,
it's like a backhanded compliment from your wife.
And we have to make a decision for us this to happen, and the president has to make the decision for that to happen. Let me just say, I won't say necessarily I knew what I was doing at that time. I knew what I was doing in the whole thing, not just that show.
And what was that?
That Donald Trump would never set foot in the White House again. I love him so much.
I love him so much. Donald Trump.
Is she talking about she loves Donald Trump so much?
No, absolutely. She's talking about Biden.
She basically just said she would do anything.
Well, I was just wondering. I hear that, but I was wondering if she might have switched on the Donald Trump as fast as she did on Biden's great presidency while she was never impressed with it. And then she was talking about Trump never setting foot in the White House, but she loves him so much. So
we couldn't be so lucky.
Seemed like that's the direction she might have been heading just based on the previous footage.
So one of the other things that came out this week was the police reports from the Las Vegas health episode from right before they pulled the old switcheroo with Biden, which was completely covered up and buried at the time in the mainstream media. I think the only thing I saw about it was on Twitter. And then it was labeled as like, well, that's a conspiracy theory. But now we have the tapes from the Las Vegas Police Department regarding that episode. And it is crazy when you read through this and see what is now available to the public when it comes to these records, and seeing that there was a major health episode that took place with Joe Biden, and he canceled. I'm not going to read all of this, but he canceled an event, and then there was a Code 3 emergency response, and this all plays out in these audio clips that we now have from the Las Vegas Police Department. What was the code that they used? It was a 421. Is that right, Joel?
Mm-hmm.
A 421. Let me find this quote that they said. Okay. In this clip here, I quote, it says, and this is after the protective detail is informed. And they said, for everyone on the radio right now, POTUS is 421. He's being seen, so we're just kind of waiting to see how this is shaping out. So for everybody's knowledge, he's 421 right now. We're just trying to figure out what's going on, and we're going to go from there. So code 421 for the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department's code sheet is a sick or injured person. And this is something that took place, and nothing was really reported about this in the mainstream media.
We're the fools here.
Yeah, so, you know, now that we have this, it's crazy how they covered it up and they buried it at the time. But I think it's interesting now that the timing, it's being released. And so I think if you look at this, it's almost like the overlords want to make it look like Biden is now not fit to run for office. Although, you know, our concern has always been that he's not fit to be where he's at right now or to finish the rest of the term. As well.
I'm old enough to remember 2 weeks ago when this happened.
Right.
And I specifically asked my wife, I said, hey, there's something going on with Biden on the plane. I'm seeing this on Twitter. She Googled it. Nothing. Facebook. Nothing.
No information.
What do you know? Finally, it comes out. Go figure. The media is hiding this from us.
So, and I think this is why you have all the military maneuvers that's going on, that's happening with Russia, Iran. It's because they know that he's not capable of making decisions, and that there has never been a better time for the enemies of our country to act out. But, you know, meanwhile, let's look in on a Harris campaign rally, okay? She's been using big artists like Megan Thee Stallion. Megan Thee Stallion.
Not A.
What kind of name is that anyway?
And Just in case our listeners don't want to go into the weeds with us,
in case they don't have a
Biden situation, yeah, they don't have their tinfoil hats sitting on the counter waiting to pop on. Maybe Joe was just going in for a limb lengthening elective surgery, and you know, because he did grow about 6 inches the next day when he was walking off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I think it was just an elective limb lengthening surgery. He identified as a much taller man. And we know we know how, I mean, just talk to old Tim, Tampon Tim, and he'll tell you.
Right.
If you want to be a little, if you identify as a tall person,
who's to say you can't
be? He may have flown from Vegas to Minnesota to get an elective surgery to be what he'd always wanted to be, and that's 6'3".
And what we're seeing with this is a lot of the people that seem to be showing up at these free concerts, at these rallies, then after the music is over, many of them leave. They're only there for Megan the Stallion.
You know, one of my biggest fears is that I just so happen to be in a state that Kamala's coming to, and she brings in the Newsboys reunion tour with Peter Furler.
You couldn't miss that.
No, guys,
we're going. We're all going.
If you see me there, don't judge me.
Or Audio Adrenaline.
Pandering.
Shine.
Well, Audio Adrenaline, he ain't coming back from the old voice loss. I talked to him a few months back at a Tim Hawkins comedy show. He was there, and I talked to him for a bit, and he's barely squeaking it out. But I would definitely, if Audio Adrenaline showed up, he could croak out in my Chevette, right. And
it's a big house.
I mean, I'd be big house. I mean, I'd be a. You guys would see me in my prime once again. Drifted back.
Here's another excerpt, little audio from one of the Harris rallies. And sorry in advance if this makes your ears bleed. But this is the type of audio performance that we're hearing from the Harris rallies.
Yes, we'll rally round the flag, y'all. Rally once again. Shouting the battle cry of freedom. We will rally from the hills.
It sounds like Rick and Morty.
Rally from the plain. Shouting the battle cry of freedom.
That's pretty good, Tim.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah,
I got a feeling you're going to play the speech that Kamala gave after that.
Oh.
And if we have to hear her cackle, would you play that clip one more time as opposed to hearing Kamala cackle?
Right. She's getting really good at the Southern black accent that she's been using at her rally.
I've seen it creep in.
Did she pick that up in her time in Canada?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm telling
sure
you
where she picked it up.
There's an old saying, I didn't know if I believed it, but Kamala has every single speech since she's drifted into the old adage: once you go black, you never go back.
She's getting into it, and she likes to say November.
Did she pick this
November.
Up? She picked this up from Babbel.
Right.
Online.
I don't know if they do dialects, but she's working on that Southern dialect. It would be like if Joe Biden started talking like a Southern gentleman what if Obama had went full on Southern.
Obama did a little of that.
Yeah, he pandered.
No, every now and again, it's like, but guys, go back to the most disingenuous person you've ever met. The lady who arrested and incarcerated people who dabbled in the marijuana.
That was Kamala.
This lady. And then laughed
about
the fact that she enjoyed a little marijuana in college.
Yeah.
And her laugh will stick with you.
It will.
Cackle.
Here she is in Detroit.
Hold on. You know what? Here's the thing. The courts are going to handle that. We're going to beat them in November.
We're going to beat them in November. it, this sounds. Joel, what was the movie with Robert Downey Jr.?
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
This is Tropic Thunder-esque.
So here's what's hilarious. So at the rally in Pennsylvania, have you guys seen this? John Fetterman is like one of the openers at the Kamala rally. And this is just so great. I mean, we're talking about John Fetterman.
He was coming around.
The shorts and hoodie guy randomly starts yelling about Trump and Vance being weird dudes. And I mean, he looks like he just rolled out from under a Dodge Neon that he was changing the oil in five minutes before this speech.
No.
Okay.
Ben, you're being too generous. I'm pretty sure he was stealing the catalytic converter out of that Dodge Neon.
Listen to what he says.
You know, this election is about moving our country forward with Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. Or a couple of really, 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 really weird dudes.
Four reallys?
Four reallys? Hey, I've never garnered more than three in my life.
Listen to this.
I'm a three weirdies.
I work with J.D. Vance. I do. And I'm here to confirm that he is a seriously weird dude.
Imagine John Fetterman calling anybody a weird dude.
Yeah, shirt three sizes too big.
It's like Marilyn Manson calling George Strait weird. It's just a bad joke. I think Trump and Vance should just lean into it, though, for their campaign slogan. You know, make normal great again.
Ben, you're big on definitions.
Yeah. I am.
These guys are redefining the dictionary.
Yeah. Weird.
At this point, should we just embrace it? We're right. Weird, and they're going to ruin weird for everyone, but let's embrace it.
I think we need some t-shirts with that too. Right? Make weird
make
great
a
again.
Mint on t-shirts.
So
make weird normal again. Yeah.
Then you have Kamala snapping at the pro-Palestinian protesters, who are really becoming a problem for the left, by the way. And I think it's kind of funny because they've created this by propping them up. And now that they're turning on them, it really puts them in a pickle. They can't denounce them or they lose the crazy terrorists supporting anti-Semites, but they can't go full support because they're so insane. Even the left don't want to be associated. And so you have Kamala Harris getting angry with the pro-Palestinian protesters at this rally, and this is just too good.
Tax breaks to billionaires and big corporations. He intends to cut Social Security.
So they're yelling in the background, interrupting her.
Medicare. He intends to surrender our fight against the climate crisis, and he intends to end the Affordable Care Act. You know what? If you want Donald Trump to win, then say that. Otherwise, I'm speaking.
Hilarious. We also have...
I don't know if Kamala was bullied enough as a youngster. Because her comebacks are rough.
Yeah, she's just not real quick on the comebacks. But, I mean, that going off the script from the teleprompter, that's a big deal for Kamala.
I was just thinking, you know, that there would be a good job for somebody. Like, find the kid that was 370 pounds in high school and have them edit the teleprompter for the comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's a six-figure job.
So, Joel,
go ahead. I have so much to say. We've got so little.
You gotta
time.
Say it.
I just how hard would it have been to say, hey, we are lifelong since before I've been alive, we have been allies of Israel. Shut the heck up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna ruin an ally. By the way,
there would rabbit trail. There's never been
what allies do we have anymore?
Mm-hmm. We alienated.
We were strong. There's never been a hand. There has never been a handful of words that would have been harder for her to utter.
The Biden administration, but the Biden Harris administration, has ruined all of our allies.
Yeah.
So she was not involved. She's going to fix it on day one.
Day one.
I hope she does.
You guys must not be watching mainstream media.
We also have info now on a whistleblower revealing that the Harris campaign is astroturfing and paying for TikTok influencers to support them. By the way, astroturfing is something that you guys all need to be aware of, okay? It's the deceptive practice of presenting an orchestrated marketing or public relations campaign, but with the guise of unsolicited comments from members of the public. Like it's, you know, they want to present it as it's an organic thing. So the left is really good at this tactic with social media, with email campaigns. Many of these organizations have long lists. They send out these scripts for them to send in. And I can tell you this from experience. Like when I did the bill on the drag queens in the libraries, the American Library Association did this to me. They have millions of people on their list, and they sent out these scripts for people to send emails to my house account and just, you know, say all kinds of things regarding that bill that weren't true. So that's astroturfing.
And
smack me back if I'm wrong, but the free market sense of me wants to think that's okay.
The astroturfing?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not that it's illegal or that it's something that, you know, again,
it's
every
a little
tool,
slimy.
Yeah, it is, for real, to make it look like it's an organic thing. It's just like the AI videos, right?
Okay.
Or the pictures. You're making it look like it's something that it's not. But again, like that's a tool available to you. But the media is the problem because they never report on this. They never look at the objective facts about
it. What is the difference? What is the difference between astroturfing and gaslighting?
Well, that's like gaslighting is saying that you're the problem, you know, you're the
convincing
one that's
you,
yeah, convincing you that you're wrong. The one that's yeah. in the wrong. The astroturfing is just saying, well, and I guess that could get into gaslighting, but like for me, it was millions, like not millions, but thousands of emails that I received from all these people all over the country and even all over the world, you know, saying things about my bill that weren't even true.
Call me crazy, call me wrong. It's a little slimy, but being a big free market person, why don't we do more of that?
Exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. And that is, you know, we don't use all the tools available. I think Trump should be on Twitter right now, but he's not.
Yeah.
Like, why
too.
Not?
Why not?
I know his contract with True Social figures into that, but it's like, you have to use every tool at your disposal right now to win this.
Exactly. I support that.
So Tim Walz, best candidate I think that she could have picked to run against four Republicans because he's an extremist.
What a radical.
And
if I could combine, I feel like gastroturfing might be the answer for the Republicans.
Okay, I'm with you. I like it.
I'm listening, Tim.
It's a twofer. It's a gaslighting and astroturfing, which I'm so excited about astroturfing because I've never known about it.
You're talking about a scorched earth campaign. Gastroturfing.
Yeah, if somebody was willing to go straight to gastroturfing, our problems would be solved.
So let's look at Tim Walz. Just a quick look, okay, his record. He fueled the BLM riots in 2020. Rioters looted and wrecked Minneapolis, did not deploy the National Guard to avoid angering his radical base. While crime dropped nationally, Minnesota's went up. He changed the Minnesota state flag to resemble Somalia's because there's so many Muslims in Minnesota.
I can attest to that.
He killed old people
I spent a year there.
With COVID nursing home scandals. He shut down schools, churches, businesses, all during COVID, instituted draconian mask mandates like many of the governors did. He oversaw the largest COVID fraud scheme in the country with $250 million stolen, basically. He squandered a $17.6 billion budget surplus and then raised taxes after a $17 billion surplus. Minnesotans have been fleeing the state like California has been. He's a groomer-friendly LGBTQIA sanctuary state, pushes the youth trans surgeries, the hormone therapy, so-called hormone therapy agenda, with kids.
Proudly.
The quality of their schools fell to the lowest in 30 years under Tim Walz. Soldiers accused Tim Walz of embellishing and selectively omitting facts about his military career. That to me is just, if
I
it
feel
was
like
just
you started
that,
piling on about five items ago.
Right. They like, accused him of quitting on them. He got a DUI in 1995, going 96 miles per hour in a 55 mile an hour speed zone.
While playing.
And he praises socialism. That's just a few things.
Was he playing Bon Iver?
Right.
Hey, listen, don't let me get on a soapbox here, but I have a thing to say about this. Bring that slide back up.
Yep. Here it is.
So Tuesday, this came out, okay. Kind of in a tough spot here, but I'm trying to make it as comfortable
as
possible.
Say what you're saying, Joel.
Okay. Tuesday, this news came out, and a good friend of mine said, hey, did you see who Kamala picked? As coming from a positive spot, right? Like, we're excited about Tim Walz. And the only thing I knew about Tim Walz was I remembered him being the governor of Minnesota after George Floyd in the middle of the riots. And that's the only thing I knew about Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they positively approached me with, do you see who Kamala picked? Like, isn't this a good thing?
They were pumped.
They were pumped. Boy.
And my
picked
first
a good old
immediately
boy.
Without thinking response was, because Minnesota's doing so well.
Right.
And that's not a Republican point. That's not a Republican talking point.
It's policy.
I feel like Americans, Democratic and Republican Americans, knew Minnesota is a crap hole since George Floyd. And maybe it's me because I know Minnesotans who have moved to Missouri and been like, we have fled. They didn't say we moved here. We have fled Minnesota.
And that's due to policy.
Because of their liberal policies.
Yep.
Guys, I lived in Minnesota for 8 months. And you could not go to Walmart. Like, I felt I was an absolute, it wasn't a feeling. It was a fact. I was a minority as a non-burqa wearing person.
What?
And guys, I know that sounds like I'm being ridiculous. It was 90% Somalian in the particular town, and I was outside of St. Cloud in Wilmer, Minnesota for 8 months. But I went to the Mall of America, and it felt like the Mall of Somalia. It's not a racial thing. It's a I had never seen such a, you know, such a, I understand why Tim felt the old Tampy Tim felt the need to change the flag, because I believe they had brought in something like 130,000 refugees. And Joel,
I feel like this is why you guys brought me on for this very topic.
I mean, here I go spouting numbers, and that's the most dangerous thing. But I believe it was 130,000 Somalians came in, and I'm pretty sure they all must have landed near St. Cloud, Wilmer area, because it was a 10-to-1 situation. But I don't even know how that affected, but then 3 years later, fast forward 3 years, the George Floyd, all the protests, and to pick someone, I just really do wonder what the motivation was.
I can't figure out what she was thinking. Everyone in this country knows.
Maybe it's hubris because I didn't see it coming.
most people in this country know Minnesota is a crap hole and has been since 2018.
Yeah. And I feel like it was literally, I feel like they were being force fed because the people that I know that are lifetime Minnesotans, they're not down with this. And it's like, it goes back to, and I hate to,
we're way off.
I'm dragging us way off of the tracks, but this is the problem with 13 million immigrants coming in is you can literally change an entire state. And, and I may have bad information and I'm going way out in the weeds here, but I believe it was Joel, could you verify this? How many state I was told this by somebody who I respect. He said that we replaced 32 states worth of population with the immigrants that have come in the last 4 years. That sounds absurd, but I'm also in a state that has a population of less than 2 million.
I don't think
that's not accurate. I will speak to Minnesota.
Wait, hold on.
Thank you.
Missouri has more than 2 million. What are you talking about? Missouri has like 6 million.
I'm not in Missouri.
Okay, so
I'm in Montana.
Yeah.
Okay, so Minnesota's current Somali population is 64,354 people.
According to the Google.
According to the Google, the World Population Review. Sounds pretty liberal.
We Googled this on a previous episode.
This was the episode before you guys tagged me in. This is the argument. This is the debate that
this is when
I reached out to Tim and was like, "Hey, I feel like you guys could use me."
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So if you go in and if you go into like a VPN server and Google this, it's much, much higher. Hmm.
So Minnesota, 64,000. The next closest is Ohio with 21,000. Somali population.
I know, but
Missouri's not.
That is just Somalis. That is just Somalis. There were multiple. They accepted. Just search how many immigrants that Minnesota has accepted in the last 10 years.
Specifically from the Middle East or immigrants?
You could probably do Middle East and bolster my argument, but if you do immigrants. In general, don't search this on Google, Joel, because I'm going to sound like a total.
Well, we'll never get an accurate number from Google because they're Google.
Let's go to like DuckDuckGo or Brave. Something.
And full disclosure, I don't know how to do DuckDuckGo. Bing.
You can use Bing. Is Bing better than Google? I don't know. That's Microsoft, isn't it?
At this point, I would say anything is better than
Google. So. While Joel's finding
that. I'll Google this. Ben, you get us out of the woods.
Trump's campaign press secretary talked a little bit about how Kamala didn't pick Josh Shapiro from Pennsylvania.
Man, I've got a lot to say about that, too.
Because he's pro-Israel, obviously, because he's a Jew.
What a shame.
So, I know. And, I mean, probably the best candidate that the Democrats could have picked was Josh Shapiro.
They chose
Tim Walz. What does that tell you about the Democrat Party right now?
I feel like, what's that movie? Wedding Crashers.
So,
idiots.
Look at what they say. This is Trump's press secretary talking about this issue.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, Kamala Harris choosing a running mate was the first major decision for her as the Democrat Party's nominee. And not only with this decision did she prove how dangerously liberal she is by picking a far-left governor in Tim Walz, she also proved that the Democrat Party has unfortunately become the party of anti-Semitism. They have become the party that caters to the demands of far-left pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers in this country. And it's unacceptable. And to all Jewish Americans out there, you are welcome in the Republican Party. You are welcome to freely express your religion, to freely support Israel. We will always support Israel. President Trump will always stand with Israel. And we're unafraid to say that, unlike the Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party. And what a sad, sad state it is that we have a major political party in this country that is so blatantly anti-Semitic.
Yeah, the dude had to go apologize for his own religion. I mean, what a communist struggle session.
So, again, like, you know, and I think this is accurate, what she's saying. It goes back to what I said just a few minutes ago. They've put themselves in this position by supporting the pro-Hamas crowd, and now they can't even pick a decent candidate because of that. So let's look at another video from another Harris rally. Again, the contrast, it's unbelievable. This is, she's standing here with Tim Walz, and this is the opening of the rally. So let's hear what Kamala has to say.
Good evening. Good evening, buddy.
Have you watched Tim Walz's reactions? He's so, they want to talk about Trump and Vance being weird. Watch this guy's reactions.
At this point, we're reclaiming weird.
Okay, just watch
this. Let them be normal. We're the liberals.
Good evening. Good evening.
This is a Ric Flair with two claps. Woo!
Good evening, everyone.
I feel like good a evening. Make America Weird Again shirt good might evening. Be a big hit.
She just keeps saying good evening.
Good
evening.
Gosh. I don't know if you've been following Twitter, but since we've been on, Ben, Kamala has plagiarized. You remember the Trump's eliminating taxes on tips policy?
Uh-huh.
Kamala has plagiarized that.
His complete policy.
Since we've been on. That's trending on Twitter.
Oh, it's her idea now.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm sure the media will boost her.
Just schmooze it over.
Boost her views. So here's another video. So they're going full woke, and I think that, you know, goes to show her pick in Tim Walz goes to show that, once again, I think they're overplaying their hand. And if you don't believe me, take Kamala's own words for it. Listen to this.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. And you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke. Yeah.
Boys, what? This person is an idiot.
The woker or wokest. Oh, man. So anyway, we're gonna leave Kamala Harris for a bit. There's plenty more to talk about later, but next up, more information from the assassination attempt on Donald J. Trump. We now have the body cam footage from the Butler Police Department officers that were assisting with security at the rally. First is the officers warning that they were concerned about the building that crooks made the shots from days in advance, and that the Secret Service said it would be taken care of, which we now know they didn't take care of. But this is crazy now that we have this. Listen to what is said on this video. Okay, so this is the body cam footage where they're talking about this.
Told them they need to post the guys. I told them that the Secret Service. I told them that Tuesday.
So let me set this up. This is while the rally's happening, when they have now realized that there's a guy on the roof, this is the Butler PD guy saying, I told them that this was going to be a problem. I talked to the Secret Service guys, and they were like, hey, it's no problem. We're going to post guys over there, whatever. That's what this is about. Listen.
I told them to post guys over here.
I have no contact with you.
What?
I thought you guys were on the
roof. No. We're inside.
Alpha 1, Bravo 1. Thank you.
I told them to post guys over here.
I wasn't even concerned about it because I thought someone was on the roof. No. I thought that's how we... Like, how can you lose a guy walking back here?
They were
on the roof.
They were inside.
Why were we not
in the building?
Because it's too far from us. You need to go somewhere over on the left side. Why weren't we?
Because I thought we were going to post guys over here. I talked to the Secret Service guys. They're like, yeah, no problem. We're going to post guys over here.
What in the world? So some other questions that were asked. So this is Josh Hawley, by the way, that revealed that the lead Secret Service agent overlooked normal security procedures and was not even checking IDs at the event. I saw Josh Hawley yesterday, by the way.
I saw he was in Web City.
But listen to this. It's unbelievable. And again, nobody's talking about this.
Fox News alert. Secret Service whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork, furious about last week's press conference where the director, Ron Rowe, admitted the agency failed but wouldn't fire anyone. Trump's entire protective detail's been an illusion. The rally in Butler was the first time the Secret Service sent counter-snipers to a Trump event. And those snipers were communicating by text message without Wi-Fi. Only the locals had radios, and according to the Washington Post, the Secret Service wasn't even in the same room as they were. They were in a completely different command center on the opposite side of the farm. Basically, the Secret Service was playing a big game of telephone while Crooks was stalking the grounds. Who signed off on this disastrous plan? According to whistleblowers who've spoken to Senator Josh Hawley, it all comes down to the lead site agent, who they claim is inexperienced and incompetent. Senator Josh Hawley's been speaking with these whistleblowers, and he joins us now. Senator, what have these whistleblowers been telling your office?
Well, what they've been saying, Jesse, is that this individual, the site agent, the lead agent, was known to the Trump campaign to be inexperienced, to be ineffectual, to be frankly incompetent at their job. Well, I'm also told by whistleblowers that on that day, she was not enforcing the normal security protocol. She was not checking people's IDs. She did not use Secret Service agents. Most of the agents there that day were not Secret Service agents. They were Homeland Security agents. And get this, Jesse, most of them had never worked a rally before. And yet this is who she chose to staff the event with, and she didn't train them or integrate them. From top to bottom, it was a total disaster. Jesse, it is a miracle, not only that Trump is alive, but that more good Americans were not killed. It's unbelievable.
So that's just a clip. And whistleblowers that have come forward saying, look, this is what's happening, and these people are incompetent. We now also have body cam footage of the Butler Police Department officer that confronted Crooks on the roof. Remember, we talked about this on the podcast at length. And this is just crazy stuff. And it makes more sense now, realizing how incompetent the Secret Service was and that the Butler PD was trying everything they possibly could, I think.
This is the guy that was hanging off the roof.
Yes. So watch this body cam footage, and it's just, it's unbelievable. Like, the first part of this is silent. There's no audio, but it shows. Here's audio now. So this is after he realized, when he had the other officer boost him up on the roof, he sees Crooks. He falls down. He immediately goes and gets his rifle because he realizes what's happening. I'm not going to play this whole clip because it's 4 minutes long.
Well, and Ben.
Yeah.
You're talking about news that is long since passed off the scene.
Yeah, this is old news at this point.
We're trying to be relevant.
He's straight up.
Okay, we have two civilians attending to him.
I just can't believe that. We're
trying to stay relevant, and here we are talking about old news.
Yeah.
That was really non-consequential, you know, that not even worth talking about, really.
According to the mainstream media.
Just the biggest story. Yeah, just the biggest story since 9/11, but we got a letter.
Right. And that's why we can't leave it alone. We can't leave it alone. Like, every time we get more information about this, it just brings to light that the Secret Service, everyone in leadership for real, sure, should be fired.
Let's roll back to Lyndon B. Johnson.
It's unbelievable.
I'll tell you this, Joel, it's bigger than mine. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as you can see from all these videos that are now released, like, the local cops are the ones, and they're not totally excused. I mean, they could have done better.
Well, but they're the ones
that were like, hey, I mean, as you just heard, we told them to cover this.
Right.
Like they, it's their job. It's the Secret Service's job to protect the president.
And while it's playing out, yeah. It's like they were left completely siloed off from the Secret Service, which I think points to why this happened.
By design?
We've heard it.
By design?
I can't explain it any other way. Like, I just can't. I mean, I'm open to any more information.
I am not a police officer. I couldn't step up to that position. I'm telling you though, at the position that I'm in, it's like when the owner shows up, you're second fiddle and hamstrung. And I just don't think, I think that the Secret Service may have failed to have, the Secret Service may have failed to have let the locals in on the actual plot that was supposed to unfold. And they were real close to screwing it up.
Yeah, so
the locals.
I don't know. The more information we find, the crazier it gets.
Weeds. We're in the weeds.
But I think this is a good time to take a break real quick. And we'll be right back. And we're back from the break, and still so much to talk about. So we've been talking about Kamala, you know, the word salad, the fake manufactured rallies, Megan the Stallion twerking on stage rather than articulating any policy. But at the same time, Trump is actually tackling the real issues, like the economy. You know, I think that's important. I think everybody, every voter, I think, can relate to policy when it comes to the economy. So this is Trump at a press event where he actually just answers policy questions for over an hour, unscripted. And he's literally firing on all cylinders. And the contrast between that and what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz is doing is unbelievable. He's talking about the economy. He's talking about the border. He's talking about national security. He's talking about wokeness. And all of that. Listen to what Trump says in this response.
Yeah. So there are some of the most brilliant people on Wall Street that are saying that if President Trump doesn't win, you're going to have a depression. I happen to agree. I think that's true. Because I know how bad these people are. You know, they like to say that they did this and that. You saw the $7 trillion that they said. It was me for $7 trillion. It wasn't me. It was them. They said that I had inflation. They took over 9% inflation. No, I had 1% inflation. I had actually no inflation because if you look at the categories, we had just about no inflation. But I had a very minor. I actually had a positive inflation. It was a perfect number because you don't want zero. I mean, I'm not going to give you a whole course on economics, but you don't want zero. 1%, 1.4% is great.
You think
you want a little bit
because
you don't want to have deflation. Deflation is, in many ways, even worse. I had a perfect number right around the 1% number. It was perfect. And to show you, it stayed there for 2 years. And then he did all of the different borrowings that he did. And then he did so many things wrong. Every time he would do it, I'd say, big mistake. And don't forget, they sell hats and they sell stories. Trump was right about everything. I have been right about a lot. Yes, Maggie. Yeah.
So that's a contrast. He's talking about policy and they're dancing to Megan Thee Stallion. And then we have Congressman Jamie Raskin. Speaking of weird, saying that there probably won't be a peaceful transfer of power if Trump is elected. Have you seen this? Like, these people blow my mind. 1 minute they're talking about January 6th And the next minute, they're saying, oh, there won't be a peaceful transfer of power if Trump is elected. Listen to this.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then
rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified.
Bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much work to do, a huge staff, great protection, simply do not want to do their job and interpret what the great 14th Amendment means. And I'm glad that Sherilyn's creating her new center so we can bring.
So he's blaming it on the Supreme Court there. But, and these are the same people. They won't shut up about January 6th. They're such hypocrites. And how disrespectful to the American people it is to assume that they don't see through the fake outrage of the left. Speaking of peaceful transfer of power, did you see that Cori Bush lost her race?
Lost her mind.
In Missouri's first congressional. Tim, did you see that? Tim?
Are you there? I did not.
Tim snoozing.
No. I had it muted. I'm eating a sandwich the size of my head.
So Cori Bush lost on Tuesday, which we had said she was going to Wesley
that.
Bell, and she lost 51% to 45%. But imagine being so radical that the people of St. Louis City reject you after 2 years in office, and you lose to Wesley Bell, who is actually a pretty moderate Democrat with Republican tendencies. Actually,
I'm the congresswoman from St. Louis,
right? So let's look at Cori Bush's speech after she loses. This is something else. Watch this.
Let's be clear. Let's talk about what it really is. Because see, now I don't have to worry about some strings that I have attached, and as much as I love my job. But all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid.
She says, now all they did was radicalize her.
She's going to be the most...
She admitted to being radicalized.
She's going to be the most radicalized server at the Buffalo Wild Wings in St. Louis you've ever seen.
I'm telling you what, Soros is going to take that. Soros is going to be sorrowfully disappointed when he finds out that she admitted that she was radicalized.
Yeah. And we should now be afraid. Like we didn't know that Cori Bush was already a
shill.
And should be treated as
for
one.
State.
There's from this point on, there's no more mild wings at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Everything is extra spicy and above because she's radicalized.
That's right.
Wild, oh, actually. Man. They're she's putting the wild in Buffalo Wild Wings serving.
Mm-hmm. So I thought that was great. There was a lot of there was good and bad that happened with Missouri's primary on Tuesday, but that was probably one of my favorites, next to a Newton County race that might have happened.
What was the bad?
What was the bad in Missouri? There really wasn't a lot.
Yeah,
there was some statewide, like state senate races that were lost that I was really hoping that they would win. Statewide races, like I'm okay with. I was kind of surprised actually at the. I thought Ashcroft would do better than he did, but he did not. Igel actually ended up finishing second, so that was kind of an interesting shakeup for me. But it was. It was an interesting primary for sure, for a lot of reasons.
Who got the governor nominee?
Kehoe.
Kehoe did.
I wish I didn't vote for Ashcroft. I wish that Ashcroft would have backed Eric DeVolcanaire, the KCPD
yeah.
officer. Had he done that, I would have voted for him. He did say that he would look into the case, but Kehoe, Igel, and Chris Wright were the only governor candidates mm-hmm. that said that they would, week one, pardon him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what
yeah.
summed it up for me. But
now, I think Kehoe worked really hard and out-campaigned everybody, I think.
I do think Kehoe's more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, time's going to tell, but you know, it was definitely I had Ashcroft at least being first or second, but it didn't turn out that way. So it was interesting.
Kehoe grabbed my hand and looked me in the eye and said, "Hey, I'll always look out for cops."
Yeah, I believe that.
That's what one of my.
And then another part of it was Valentina Gomez did not win the Secretary of State. Position.
How did it go?
She had about 8%.
I don't know if I want.
How did it go for Colonel Clanders?
And Clanders less. Had less than 1%.
Chris Wright won more than him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which Chris Wright's a good guy. Clanders is a
yeah.
racist.
Way to go, Chris.
So next up, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, we've talked about many times on the podcast, was seen in the wild. Picking up trash at a homeless encampment that they had apparently booted out of town. I mean, look at this.
Was there a Chinese diplomat coming?
Right. Look at him. He's by himself just picking up trash, guys. He's been radicalized.
Cori Bush has gotten to him.
He's not doing a very good job of picking up the trash, but...
He's not particularly effective.
He's out there.
Somebody's never done community service in a show.
Right. He's got a cart from Walmart, and he's putting trash in it.
Hey, $950 or less.
Right. But a change of heart, right? Cracking down on the homeless folks in California.
Kamala's out there driving the whip.
Was that
we all know
was
it.
That,
and he's was making that sure everyone Kamala, sees it.
Was that before Kamala selected her VP candidate?
That's to be time will tell on that.
I'm not sure.
All I know is she said.
I know that
she said Greasy Gavin.
I know that he wasn't eligible, but he may not have known.
I didn't know. Yeah, she said, Greasy Gavin, get out there and get the streets cleaned up.
Right.
I represent California, and we can't be having all these homeless.
So here's what's crazy. Tim Walz, I think, is actually more radical in his record than Gavin Newsom.
By far. Tampon Tim.
Is that what's... I mean...
We haven't explained Tampon Tim.
We haven't.
To the listeners.
So... Tim Walz wanted to provide tampons in the boys' bathrooms in public schools.
Signed into law.
That's why we call him Tampon Tim.
And
that's
is,
just one
this
example.
This is mainly for...
I don't know about you boys, but I've been a boy for 38 years. I've never needed a tampon. I've raised three boys who, to my knowledge, have never needed tampons.
Here's the deal. Maybe you have not done some irresponsible heavy lifting, because I was going to give Tim the benefit of the doubt that these were for hemorrhoids.
Right. Tim, have you ever...
But
Tim, not Tim Walz, Tim Holden, have you ever been through biology class?
Well, have you ever had a really, really bad hemorrhoid? I personally have not. I've had one getting nigh unto needing some... You know, I got some bad ones, Joel. I'm just going to cut it off there.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
But I wanted to give Tim the benefit of the doubt just because he's a Tim.
Because he's a
but,
Tim.
But it's not looking good.
No. So next up, the UK is a mess. Well, I mean, even more so than they normally are. And now they're banning free speech. Making it punishable by law to share information the government deems as hate speech. The UK has introduced a law that could potentially lead to the imprisonment of individuals who simply retweet content deemed likely to cause racial hatred. And of course, this has sparked concerns about free speech and the ambiguity of what constitutes likely to cause hatred. Critics argue that this law may be used to suppress legitimate criticism, such as discussions about immigration policy, under the guise of preventing hate speech. Now, I would say that if this law took effect in the U.S., I would say that a good portion of my Twitter haters would be in prison.
Jess Piper.
But knowing how the government twists things around, I have a feeling it would probably be me rather than them.
Touche.
So I wonder what their definition of likely to cause hate speech looks like in this bill. And so I was curious about this. So I tried to find out. And here's what I came up with. This is Grok that gave me this answer. The UK does not have a specific legal definition of hate speech in its legislation. Instead, the term is used in the context of various laws that criminalize certain types of speech or behavior when motivated by hostility or prejudice against or based on a person's race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, or transgender identity. For example, the Public Order Act of 1986 prohibits expressions of racial hatred, which is defined as hatred against a group of persons by reason of the group's color, race, nationality, including citizenship, ethnic, or national origins. It makes hateful behavior toward a victim based on the victim's membership or presumed membership in a racial group an aggravating factor for the purpose of sentencing in respect of specified crimes. So the CPS has adopted a central definition of hate crime as this: any criminal offense which is perceived by the victim or any other person to be motivated by hostility or prejudice based on a person's disability or perceived disability, race, or perceived race, or religion, or perceived religion, sexual orientation, or perceived sexual orientation, or transgender identity, or perceived transgender identity.
There's where they went wrong. Their definition was off.
You think?
Because by
perceived
that,
by the victim.
Yeah, you can't leave it up to perceived by the victim. Otherwise, I'll never win an argument with my wife ever. Right. Ever.
So these definitions are not specifically about hate speech, but rather about hate crimes, which include both physical acts in speech or behavior that is motivated by hostility or prejudice. I mean, the UK has been criticized for having a broad and vague definition of hate speech, of course. But this can lead to a suppression of legitimate criticism or free speech.
I just Googled fascism. And apparently.
What did the Google
apparently
say?
Apparently there's different types now.
Oh.
So the original fascism seems to be Italian fascism, but American fascism is pretty much just
whatever, whichever way the wind blows.
Donald Trump is saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever Trump's saying this week falls into that category. But Italian fascism was quite different under Mussolini.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the moving goalpost, you guys are not obviously not woke enough to keep up.
Yeah,
on all of these things, like. When you're confused, just know that your confusion is due to a lack of wokeism.
Well, to me, it seems like the UK has their priorities really misplaced, to say the least. They're on fire right now. Gangs of Muslim men are hunting down white people, beating them up or killing them in the streets of their cities. But they're worried about hate speech on Twitter. I mean, here's
if
just
if you were woke enough, then you would understand what's going on over there.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
I hope that I'm never that woke. But here's a thread of recent events just happening in the UK over the last couple of weeks. Okay? Just over the last couple of weeks. A group of men who looked of Middle Eastern ancestry assaulted a man who looked of Anglo-Saxon ancestry, reportedly because of his race. However, we can't be sure, you know, of just from this video that we have alone. Then it was followed by another assault carried out by the Muslim Defense League on two white men. They were attacked with hammers. You know, again, we can't verify exactly what caused it.
That it's the Muslim Defense League, so I'm assuming they were defending themselves.
I don't know about that. I don't think so. Dozens.
You have to assume right. Based on the name.
Dozens and dozens of men who looked of Middle Eastern ancestry were seen patrolling the streets with weapons. These same men were shouting Allahu Akbar in a nearby park. At this point, you know, I think it became pretty clear that they're Muslim, right? Then police were recorded telling them to discard their weapons at the local mosque. And then the march that is presumed to have occurred because of the heinous murder of three young, beautiful girls, or mass immigration. You know, people will have different reasons for attending, but appeared peaceful, at least initially.
I have a question. I know I'm inserting here, but it was three girls less than 10.
Yeah.
We're at a Taylor Swift themed birthday party.
Hmm.
Got murdered by an illegal Muslim immigrant. Where's she at in this?
Right. Yeah. How come she hasn't spoken out?
They were there celebrating her and her music.
Right. No, she's not going to do that, though.
Never.
And then in Bristol, a man who looked of Anglo-Saxon ancestry assaulted a man who looked of African descent, reportedly because of his race. But we can't be sure. You know, who knows?
If they weren't to put that in there, they'd probably be arrested.
Right. And it goes on and on. This thread is so long of what's happening.
I couldn't watch them all.
I can't even watch them all or read them all.
Don't have time to watch them all.
But this is what's happening in the UK. But they're worried about hate speech. So what's caused this? Well, I'll tell you. Open borders and unvetted immigration. You cannot let people come here who in their own core beliefs say that we are the great Satan and have vowed to kill all of the infidels. Period. You can't let those people come to your country. And that is what has happened in the UK. So another example of this, a British woman that was arrested for inaccurate social media posts about migrant criminals who stabbed and killed three children last month. They put this woman in jail for an inaccurate social media post about this event where migrant criminals killed and stabbed three children. That's the kind of priorities that the UK have right now. And here's another example, okay? How the UK is addressing the problem of stabbings in the country. So they've banned guns, and now the criminals have resorted to stabbing people with knives. So what do they do to address this problem? What do you think? Well, you guessed it. They make knives without sharp points. And no, I'm not kidding. This is really happening in the UK. They have an article about this. British cutlery company releases square-tipped knives that can't stab people. That's their answer. This is really happening.
It's ridiculous.
You guys ever have one of those knives when you were a kid that from the Dollar Tree?
Yes. Your grandma intentionally dulled it so you couldn't cut yourself?
No, I was thinking of the plastic ones that, like, you could stab somebody with and it just, like, went into itself instead of...
Oh, the fake ones. Real quick before we move on. 5-6 years ago, I met a guy named Alec Grant. Shout out to Alec Grant from the UK. He was born here. When he was a child, his parents moved to the UK, and he came back recently as an adult for the first time, and I met him at a local establishment, and he was shocked to learn that I was a cop, because he had learned, all he'd ever seen on TV was that cops were stone-cold killers.
Yeah.
He was shocked to learn that I didn't hate black people, and that I didn't intentionally go out of my way to murder black people. He was shocked out of his mind, and shout out, and I'll tag him, and I'll tag propaganda. Him, and I'll have him listen to this. He couldn't believe the culture difference, but whenever I called him out on policies in the UK, he was like, "Oh yeah, I've lived in the UK my whole life. I can't afford to have a decent place because they give all of our decent places to Muslim immigrants."
Oh wow.
And no one there can afford a decent place because it is policy to give our decent places at for free to Muslim immigrants.
Wow.
And I was like, "Man, don't you see, I'm not trying to
all right.
I'm not trying to persuade you in any way, but don't you see?
Can you not see
can you not
what's
see
happening
what's going
here?
On here?" And he's a down to earth level-headed guy, and he was like, "Wow, all I'd ever known about American police is that you guys hate black people and you want to kill them.
The propaganda.
Like, here I am sitting in front of you, buddy."
Yeah. But so, and here's what's happening. So this is happening in the UK. Now let's go to Capitol Hill, okay, in the United States of America, and listen in on the protests the other day demanding that all illegals be given citizenship and the right to vote. I mean, are we this stupid that we cannot see from the mistakes of the UK that it's not going so well now in their country that has been taken over by immigrants because of their policies? You know, or do the overlords want the same kind of chaos and violence here? That's another question. You know, what would they get out of that? Could it be more government control, which leads to the elites ruling from their marble halls and their ivory towers, getting richer by the moment, while the unwashed masses are relegated to fighting for survival and how to find bread for the day? I mean, the bottom line is, we better wake up. If you're going to maintain our freedom and liberty in this country, you better realize that the contrast between the radical left and the conservative right has never been greater than it is right now. So here's the protests going on in Capitol Hill. Listen to this. We are the immigrants. They're saying, "We are the immigrants.
Mighty, mighty immigrants."
You think illegal immigrants should be able to vote?
I mean, I think if you're paying taxes and you're putting money into the economy for a country that you've lived at for over a decade, yes, I think you should have a voice in the people that are making rules on their life.
You kick us out, you better get a seat right next to us and buckle up, because it's all of us or none of us.
Do you think illegal immigrants should be able to vote in this next election?
I do. They live in this country. They have a purpose being here, and every vote should count. Everybody should be able to have a place to speak, whether your documentation status, that shouldn't be affected because you're living in this country, so that's going to affect you whether you have documentation or not.
It's not legal for an illegal person to vote.
What?
Constitution says only citizens can vote. Everyone should have the opportunity to have a path to citizenship.
Why do you think they deserve those citizen rights?
Because they're human. We're all humans, and it's a basic human right. So
it's a basic human right.
It's a basic human right to vote for president.
Wherever you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had these protests here today, and it was all about immigration and citizens' rights. What do you think? A lot of people want to let them vote in the next election. Do you think they should be able to vote?
It should be open to interpretation. I think some people should be able to vote. I don't think you necessarily need to be a legal citizen.
I feel like everyone should have a right to vote. I mean, it's going to make an impact on who we want to be as president, as mayor, as councilor. So
even if they came in illegally, they should be able to vote?
Yeah.
That's Megan Thee Stallion fans right there.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
If they're not really supposed to be in this, I mean, it's not like they're not supposed to be in this country. I mean, I'm not trying to say that. It's just like they're just not official.
Do you think all these folks that came across in the last few years should be able to vote in the next election?
I think that's too soon. It's totally too soon.
America's supposed to be great. So we have like all the resources and all the stuff. So if people are supposed to come here, I feel like they need us for help. So yes, they should have a right to vote. We're supposed to be the people that make
they us. They need us for help. So they should have a right to vote.
Mm-hmm. Again, you better wake up, people. The division, the DEI propaganda that the left have pushed since Obama and accelerated under Biden, I think it's fallen apart to some degree. Now they're resorting to trying to further the narrative, though, with Hollywood actors that do stuff like this. Watch this. This is hilarious. So Ben Stiller... Here's Ben Stiller talking. This is a he's trying to urge people to vote for Kamala Harris. This is white the dudes? Comics for Kamala fundraising.
It's not white dudes for Harris.
Call. Here he goes.
Get out and vote and donate. And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know, she's Indian, she's black, she's everything. You can be more than one thing.
She's everything. She's everything.
Well, you know, I'm Jewish and Irish. I wish I was black. Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black.
Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black.
This feels like says an Al Ben Stiller. Jazeera. This feels like an Al Jazeera video. Where's the terrorist in the background with a gun in his head?
I feel like he might have fallen into the Zoolander role for that.
He doesn't look like he wants to be there, actually. But, I mean, why would you say something like that?
My goodness. I'm embarrassed for him.
Yeah. So, yeah. Ben Stiller wishes he was black. He's urging people to vote for Kamala Harris, who is everything, by the way. She's black, she's Indian, she's everything, he said.
Everything.
Everything. Why can't Ben Stiller just identify? You know, like Rachel Dolezal or Elizabeth Warren. All the cool kids seem to be doing it. Even Kamala now kind of playing the role. But anyway, next up, RFK Jr., dumped a dead bear in Central Park, and he's trying to explain it. Have you guys seen this? This is wild.
As RFK Jr.'s attorney, I advise him to shut the heck up.
What? I do not. I mean, it's like, is he trying to? I mean, he knows he's not going to win, but he's really
RFK
trying to get ahead of this.
Bill.
I don't know what he could be trying. This is awkward. The whole thing is awkward.
He is an attorney, and he is his own attorney, and he's telling a funny story.
He's trying to represent himself is what he's doing.
Joel, last week I told a funny story on the podcast that I would like back. It happens.
Is that what's going on here, Tim? Don't get me wrong. Like, I read the comments on this, and everyone was like, "Oh, why would he grab up a dead animal? That's so weird." Don't get me wrong. Like, if I thought I could get a bear fur out of this,
yeah,
by George, I'd grab up the
or just
the
a
bear fur.
A funny video. And I think that's what this is really about. But I think he's trying to get ahead of. He knows the crazies are going to come after him for this.
It's crazy.
For real though. I tried to talk my brother, Phil, and my dad into picking up a crocodile or an alligator off of the side of the road in Louisiana not 6 months ago. I said, guys, don't let it go to waste.
Up in Goshen, New York, up in the Hudson Valley. And I was supposed to meet them there at like maybe 8 or 9. I was driving up maybe, you know, really early, like 7. And that woman in a van in front of me hit a bear and killed it, a young bear. So I pulled over and I picked up the bear and put him in the back of my van because I was going to skin the bear. And it was very good condition, and I was going to...
It was in very good condition.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I get that part of
yeah.
it. Yeah. I'd like to have a bear.
And put the meat in my refrigerator. And you can do that in New York City. You can get a bear tag for a roadkill bear. And so then we went hawking, and I had the bear in my car. And then we had a really good day, and we went late. We were catching a lot of game, and the people really loved it, so we stayed late. And instead of going back to my home in Westchester, I had to go right to the city because there was a dinner at Peter Luger's Steakhouse. And at the end of the dinner, it went late, and I realized I couldn't go home. I had to go to the airport. And the bear was in my car, and I didn't want to leave the bear in the car because that would have been bad. So then I thought, you know, at that time, this was the little bit of the redneck in me. There'd been a series of bicycle accidents in New York. They had just put in the bike lanes and saw people, a couple of people that got killed, and it was every day, and people had gotten badly injured. Every day it was in the press.
Look at this woman's face when he's
just... That's Rosie...
Right.
Roseanne Barr. That's
Roseanne
Barr.
And so I thought...
She's regretting asking
about this. I wasn't baby. Drinking, of course, but people were drinking with me who thought this was a good idea. And I said, I had an old bike in my car that somebody had asked me to get rid of it. I said, let's go put the bear in Central Park and we'll make it look like he got hit by a bike. Fun and funny for people. So everybody thought that's a great idea. So we went and did that, and we thought it would be amusing for whoever found it or something. The next day, it was like, it was on every television station. It was the front page of every paper. And I turned on the TV, and there was like a mile of yellow tape, and there were 20 cop cars. There were helicopters flying over it. And I was like,
helicopters,
oh my God,
flying over it.
What did I do? And then there were some people on TV in Tyvek suits with gloves on lifting up the bike, and they're saying they're going to take this on to...
I will say, guys, this humanizes. For me, this humanizes old RFK.
It does. I think it's hilarious.
Because this is a story that I would absolutely tell.
Yeah.
And
yes, you would.
I am the guy that would...
This
I'm the guy
story.
That would load up the roadkill. It really is. Like I said, last week, after listening to the episode, I was like, I could have absolutely left that story out and just gone to my grave with it. But it slips out in a moment like this. You're sitting with Roseanne Barr.
Right.
And you're like, you think you've done some dumb things. Let me tell you a little something about this bear. I'm just like, it really is just, I think it's the human side of the politician. It's like you find the one thing, but man, it was an inconvenient thing to spill the beans. My yeah. goodness. It's like, okay, go back to the dog shooting in the goat.
Mm-hmm.
From, was it Christy Noem?
Stories that
yeah,
should have just
like,
left
right
inside of you.
Stories that you could tell if you weren't on record. And they're epic. They're epic.
Oh,
guys, man. I'm not going to lie. If I spool past a dead crocodile and it's me, that thing's going in the truck.
Yeah. Gator bites.
I'm just saying.
For dinner. So
I'm not even going to utilize it except for... It's probably going to get dumped in a Central Park in Louisiana later because I realized the error of my ways that I was not responsible or capable of handling such an animal. But for that moment, it was mine.
So, last but not least, have you watched any of the Olympics? Any of you guys?
Paquito.
Good Lord, guys. I don't know if I do not. I did not make it this far because of the deficit in my attention. But I hope to goodness you're going to talk about Olympic breakdancing.
No, I did see. I did see that though.
I've never heard
that,
of it.
Guys.
We're going to have to cover that.
I spent the evening last night sitting in my hotel room watching Olympic breakdancing.
Breakdancing.
Guys, it's an Olympic sport. And let me just tell you, I was feeling a little bit down last night. And the thing that brought me about was realizing that I could have been born an Olympic breakdancer. Right. The shame I could have brought to my family.
So
some people have a bad day, but they weren't born an Olympic breakdancer.
Was that the highlight for you, Tim? Was the breakdancing of the whole entire Olympics?
No. Like that was, so there have been a lot of things in these Olympics that have made me question just how any of us have made it to this point in civilization in general. But I could go on and on about the Olympics, but the Olympic breakdancing was the low point. Like, I was disappointed with the opening.
Yeah.
Like, what do they call it? Opening ceremonies?
The Blue Man.
Yeah. Like, I was grossed out.
The Blue Trans Group.
To realize that.
The God of Wine.
All the things that haven't made it to Olympics. And then to see, like, there's a guy who has, did you guys see, I think it was on the Today Show, there was a pizza dough tosser.
What?
And he had this, guys, he's wanting to toss pizza dough.
In the Olympics?
I mean, I think probably, he's probably a salad tosser by trade. But yeah, he's hoping to get pizza dough tossing into the Olympics eventually. Oh my. And it's really just a rubber disc that he tosses around for 30 minutes.
So
I'm telling you, if you fall into the trap that is morning news, I don't know. I like to sleep with noise. And I feel a little dumber every time I wake up to said news.
So
there was a guy tossing pizza dough with a news anchor that was actually just a rubber disc.
So
for 30 straight minutes.
For me.
Go ahead.
The Turk in his flip-flops winning the medal with the pistol, that was probably the highlight for me.
Did you see that he would have won first place had he not been with a partner?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he did win first place, so that's where I'm at on it.
No, I think it was silver.
No, he got silver.
So I've only seen bits and pieces of the Olympics, like in general. But after the opening ceremony, I had no appetite really to watch the woke Olympics.
Yeah.
No. I mean, here's the thing.
I've been trying to avoid it myself.
It's definitely the year of the men for the Olympics.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah. But the International Olympics president assures us that there is no way to know. There's no scientifically solid system to know if someone is a man or a woman. There's a Not the Bee article, and the headline is, International Olympics Committee President tells press, there's no scientifically solid system to determine if someone is male or female. And they said, it's one thing to allow transgenderism to ruin sports and put women in danger, but this is something else. The president of the IOC is telling us to our face that it's impossible to know the difference between males and females. Just listen up. He said, we have said from the very beginning, if someone is presenting us scientifically a solid system, I can't even do this with a straight face. How to identify men and women who were the first ones to do it. We do not like this uncertainty. We do not like it for the overall situation. We do not like it for nobody. So we should be more than pleased to look into it. But what is not possible is someone saying, this is not a woman, by looking at somebody or by falling prey to a defamation campaign. So let's see if this will play. Here's him talking.
Somebody is presenting us scientifically a solid system how to identify men and women. We are the first ones to do it. We do not like this uncertainty.
So that was just the president of the IOC saying he has no scientific abilities to determine the differences between men and women. I'm sure.
You can't make this up. Like,
and I didn't want to. I really had no intentions of ever going here 2 hours ago. But I wonder if he could positively identify that French pole vaulter.
Right.
Boys, I don't know what to say. I've lost friends this week. I've lost Facebook friends.
No.
Who were friends before.
Say it isn't so, Joel.
Yeah. Because initially this came out. This is all about the boxer, right?
Yeah, right.
Who is a man.
Mm-hmm.
Who was born with a vagina.
Yeah.
But still has a Y chromosome, which makes them a man, which means they should never be in the ring
mm-hmm.
boxing, punching a woman in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And because I said that on my Facebook, I lost two gay friends this week because I am man enough to say, hey, this person who was born with a Y chromosome should not be punching this person with two X chromosomes in the face
mm-hmm.
in the middle of a boxing ring. I lose friends over it? Get real.
It's crazy. And now the gold medalist for the boxing
one gold
in the Olympic
today.
Is a male.
Yeah.
In the women's category. So if you're wondering if we're in a mess, we are. But the question is, how many people actually believe this kind of garbage? Are the numbers for sanity still in the majority? I think they are. But, you know, they don't want you to think that they are. They want you to believe that normal is weird and weird is normal. They want you to believe that the traditional family is weird and weirdos that can't decide what gender they are, who apologize for their skin color, who think it's okay to, like, tampon Tim, you know, to cut off the genitals of children and call that healthcare, are the normal ones. And guys like you and me that are busy working hard to provide for our families who, you know, in some cases homeschool our children so they can have a quality education and not be indoctrinated or radicalized by the rainbow cult who just want to be left alone. We're the weirdies. So look, people, to quote all the Twitter trolls on my page, go touch some grass.
Benji.
I think it's hilarious that it's the ones who probably never actually go outside that are trying to tell me to touch some grass and use that phrase.
And
we're probably 4 years out from the French pole vaulter.
Where are you going with this, Tim?
I'm just feeling like 4 years from now, if Kamala Harris becomes president, I'm pretty sure the French pole vaulter is going to win the gold in the women's pole vaulting mm-hmm. event.
Right. Yeah. So here's the thing.
If you lower the bar for a man to compete in a woman's sport, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to lower it by a lot.
Yeah.
But he's good.
Ben, I did see on your Twitter this week that someone accused you of accidentally losing your motorcycle at your boyfriend's house.
Right.
Do they know something I don't? I've known you for 20 years, probably.
It's news to me, man.
Where would they have gone?
I'm just hoping.
You lose your motorcycle. Somebody steals it off of your front lawn. You tweet about it, and somebody tries to blame it on you.
Said you left it at your boyfriend's house.
This is
news to me. I mean, I've known you 20 years.
So get off Twitter and TikTok. Go interact with real people.
Touch some grass, Benji.
Talk to them face to face. You'll find out the truth. America still has
normal
people out there. And I'm telling you, our listeners, you guys are on the list. Don't let them tell you you're the weird ones. Keep telling the truth.
No, make America weird again.
Right. Keep telling the truth.
That's kind of weird.
Keep having babies and teaching the next generation the truth, and we're going to be okay. So that's it. You guys got anything else?
No, I like that. Just me and Tim and J.D. Vance, we're the weird ones.
Yeah. So with that, listen.
I would only solely be the extra.
Don't forget, you can go to Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a 5-star review. You can follow us there. You can go to Spotify. You can leave us a 5-star review there as well. You can go to our YouTube, which is the Man Cave Caucus YouTube page, and we'll try to keep you updated with some content there. But with that, have a great week.
God bless.
God bless.